What's up, everybody? It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for Vikings again. Tonight, we just had Season 6, Episode 7, The Ice Maiden, but we're also going to double up and go back and recap Episode 6 for you as well, so sit tight.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, we're back! We're back!
Holidays are over.
This synth music just always kills me. This is like some new wave 80s. It's very festive, though.
Yeah.
How was your holiday, by the way?
Restful.
Okay. Before we jump into it, everybody, welcome back. My name is Al Gregg. I'm your host. This is Vikings. We're going to discuss Season 6, Episode 7, The Ice Maiden. Plus, we're going to go back and catch up on the episode we were off last week. We didn't tape. We're going to do also Episode 6, Death of the Serpent. And I got my homegirl in here.
Yeah.
I got my new ace in here. Lauren, what up?
All right, y'all, Lauren B, we're back. I hope all of y'all are rested from the holidays.
Yeah. So we were just talking about the holidays, catching up. I kind of like watching Vikings at home on a big screen, because for those of you who don't know, I mean, generally we just come in here and we watch it on the monitors, and it's cool, but, you know, we really don't have a lot of time to, like, rewind and all that before we record this episode. So it was cool going back and watching the
Absolutely.
Whole episode. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about it. The elephant in the room, Lagatha! Lagatha is dead! No spoiler alert. I thought everybody knows that. If you saw the episode, everybody has to know that. But anyway, just your overall thoughts, I guess, on this episode, and then we'll talk about the previous one.
You know?
Yeah, it's a mixed thoughts about it.
Mixed thoughts.
Talk about it.
I'm not happy about it, though.
Okay.
I'm trying to be happy.
All right.
Because she had such a great hoorah in, like, grand finale. She went out with a bang.
Yes, she did.
But I am really sad.
Okay. You're salty about the way it happened, the gist that she's dead and we're losing her. And
I'm salty about the way it happened.
Okay.
Because we all know Ivar is the one that is vengeful.
Yeah, we always thought it was going to be Ivar that was going to kill her.
Yes. Uh-huh. And now to see just this messed up version of the son that did this.
Okay. And we're not going to talk about which son yet. We're going to get into it. We're going to tease it. So we're not going to give away everything.
We won't give it away.
Yeah, but that was the big whopper of the episode. And we're also going to go back and talk about episode 6, which was Death of a Serpent. And we were off last week, but we're going to recap that real quick. So let's just jump into that. And I'm just going to catch everybody up real quick. Okay. So if we started out, last episode, they were in the part of Norway that King, Olaf rules,
right,
and he's organizing this big election so he can be the entire king of Norway. Mm-hmm. And he's inviting all the other little kings from Norway to come into town, and we're going to do this vote. And he's talked them into, you know, that we're going to, you know, finally be united instead of fighting each other. We're going to be one united Norway, which is good in theory. It's a great thing. And they're going to have an election. It seems pretty democratic. And obviously, he's backing Bjorn. And obviously, the audience is led to believe that Bjorn is going to be the one that's going to win. He's the son of Ragnar. He's kind of the obvious choice. And I remember from the very beginning of the episode, there was this character. His name is Jor-El. That was the guy I was trying to tell you about. He gets off the boat, and the first thing he's like, why did you have us come here? What is this all about? You know, and obviously Olaf is like, well, I didn't waste your time. I brought you here for a reason. But it was foreshadowing, because he was the one who actually cast, like, the final vote for Harald.
Right.
But anyway, but that guy's just droll. He stuck out to me last episode as just kind of like the doubting Thomas, like somebody who's always going to be a thorn in the side of the plan. What also happened? Oh, and also, they built a lot of the tension, you know, because they open up with obviously Olaf. I think Olaf votes for Bjorn, obviously. And then even Harald votes for Bjorn, too.
Yes.
He does the right thing. And Bjorn's like, oh, it's okay. So, and then they kind of, and then, you know, they kind of tease us. And we'll get to what happens later on in our episode. But we're led to believe that everything's going okay. But they keep cutting to this guy, Jor-El, and flat nose. You know, like, you never know what they're doing behind the scenes. So let's cut to away from this election. And now let's cut back to Kattegat. Right. And Vitserk has been getting these visits from the seer again. He's seeing these visions. He's losing his mind. And he's like basically yoking up the local drug dealer. Oh, right? I need some more drugs. I need some more Russian mushrooms. I need some more ale. Yeah, and he's giving him and he's giving him, like, I guess his family heirloom, that expensive bracelet. So what's going on? What's going on with Vitserk? I know you had some interesting insight.
He's losing his mind. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really off his rockers right now. He is a complete drug addict. Mm-hmm. He cannot help himself. And we're watching him spiral downhill very, very quickly. And I am so sad to see this happen to a son of Ragnar.
Yeah, and he makes this big show of going out and finding this, I don't know, like the steel wall or something. Yeah. He recruits some guys to bring it in, and people are like, what's this for? And he's like, it's to keep out Ivar. He's still tormented by the fact that Ivar might kill him.
Correct.
Right, he thinks that. But then the seer, you brought this up earlier, the seer, I don't know, says some things about his destiny. Can you relay this back to us? Because you had an interesting thought on it.
They had this very interesting moment of just like a prophecy. Uh-huh. We all know about the prophecy of that one of the sons will end up
killing
Lagatha. Uh-huh. And the seer is like having this moment where he is trying to hone him in and let him know, like, look, your prophecy is way bigger than what you think it is. Mm. Your purpose. And he's like, what is my purpose? And they're having this moment back and forth, and we are finally getting that first glimpse of this ultimate fulfillment. The seer says it probably, what, like 3 or 4 times, that the ultimate fulfillment is coming for him to fulfill. And it's really...
Okay, this is a good point to debate, because I come from the school that I was hoping that somehow Vitserk was going to get his ish together and kill Ivar, especially since he's being tormented by Ivar in these dreams. And I'm thinking, like, the only way to make these dreams or these nightmares go away is if he kills them himself. And to me, that's like his big fate. But your interpretation, this is very compelling, is that his true purpose, what the seer was saying, was to kill Lagatha. That was his biggest role.
Well, I don't know if it's his biggest role.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be his biggest.
But it's not what he thought. It's not to kill Ivar.
Right,
that's the thing.
But it's not what he thought. His focus has been so much on Ivar. Uh-huh. The seer was trying to let him know, look, there are some things that are way bigger than Ivar right now.
Right.
And that was one of those moments of, right now he's lost and he doesn't know what his purpose is or was. And he was trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? Because he's trying to get off drugs, but he slips back. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to get off and he slips back. And one moment, you know, he's getting help by his family and friends that are around him. And then the next moment, he's going ham and hitting folks. So,
yeah. So, Vitserk's just a mess. All right, let's put a pin in him. And let's cut to, we're still on the last episode. Let's cut to Lagatha Island. That's what I call it, her little town. And Gunnhild, Bjorn's wife, comes in with just like a handful of troops on horseback. She's like, Lagatha, she's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I had this vision that somebody was killed and that you needed my help, and that's why I'm here. And Lagatha was like, you're right, we were attacked, and we even lost the little boy, Bjorn's son, Holly, I want to say is his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Holly. And I don't know. So they have an interesting debate about whether or not the bandits are going to come back.
They do. And Lagatha is like, I know that they're going to come back. And she's like, and Gunnhild's like, you know what? Well, whatever the case may be, we need to prepare.
Right.
And I love to see two women working together to just have this whole like hoorah woman power.
They were bossing up.
They were seriously bossing up. And it was just one of those sweet moments of like woman intuition.
Uh-huh.
And it was cool to see them lead the village into their strategic plan for their protection. It was one of the things that I really liked about that.
And I think they finally confirmed, I think they have gave clues already that those were the bandits. The bandits were like led by the guys at Bjorn at Ostracide who were loyal to Ivar and done these killings.
Correct.
And so, you know, they've crewed up. It seems there's, I don't know where they're getting all those people, because it seems way more than a couple of guys.
It started like off with like 15 and then now it's like 100 of them. And
so
I'm
they're
like,
just gathering and I guess it's like any lone independent bandit in the forest. They've kind of clicked up with this crew and, you know, so obviously they're the looming threat. Gunnhild, okay, she's here to support them, but obviously she doesn't, obviously the crew she has is not it's not like an entire army or platoon. It's just a handful extra more. Any little better helps, but it's not like it's a decisive win. It's not like it's like significant aid to help them defeat.
Correct. A couple extra shields.
It was a couple, which is, I was kind of salty. I was like, either you come, if you're going to come to help, come to help. Don't just come just with a couple of people and just deliver a message. So anyway, we're automatically left wondering, okay, what is going to be their strategy? Because they obviously can't fight them head on.
Right.
Because they don't have the numbers. All right. So back in Rus, in Russia, Prince Oleg, he comes in with a new bride. His new bride, he introduces her to Ivar as Princess Katya. And Katya looks uncannily like Ivar's ex-wife that he killed, Freydis. What the hell, man?
This is torture.
That's crazy. I was like, oh, who's messing with us? Righty's messing with us? Or Oleg's messing with us? Talk to me. What's your impression?
I think that, first of all, it's just brilliant that an actress gets a chance to have one role.
It's the same actress. Yeah, they didn't even try to say it's somebody that looks like her. Let's just get the same actress who Ivar killed and bring her back as somebody else.
She got killed off and now she's back. I think that's just awesome. Get that work.
Uh-huh, right.
But I think it is a really twisted joke. And unfortunately, this is just torture for Ivar.
And Prince Oleg, we know he's a plotter and a schemer, and we know he plays the long game, but like, do we really think he was playing the long game? Like, he would have had to been, I don't think he necessarily, I'm getting into predictions, but I think he did a lot of research to find out about who was this person who was Ivar's wife.
Right.
You know, anything he can gain on him because he you know, he knows Ivar's a little too crafty for his own good. Oh, and I kind of skipped over one thing too. The reason, I guess it kind of ups the tension when, Oleg introduces his new wife is because we think that Ivar has just won a little victory. And let's talk about this victory of him and Igor freeing the brother deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ivar always thinks that he's one or two or three steps ahead. Uh-huh. And this is that moment where he's met his match. Because this right here...
You think by freeing the brother, you know, letting him out the cage and choreographing his whole escape. Okay, so this way Ivar won't have to be a puppet. He can use that other guy as leverage. Maybe that guy will be kind of like his proxy and that he won't be stuck under the thumb, you know, of Oleg.
Correct.
So obviously Ivar's stock has gone up. And the fact that he's even like recruited Prince Igor to do it with him is amazing.
Right. He's gaining his allies, getting his, you know, his troops together, and then bam, here goes this mental game that he's getting beat. Like, he's literally getting beat at his own game. And this is something where watching his face in these scenes is like, oh, crap. And, he's losing.
So the first, and it's kind of, the first confrontation is that when, Prince Oleg and all his troops, they're running around, they're looking like, what happened to him? Who released the prisoner? Who released my brother? He comes in and he goes directly to Ivar and even Igor, and he's like, you guys wouldn't know what happened to him, would you?
And we already know that answer, right?
But they don't crack. I knew Ivar wouldn't crack, but I was worried that Igor, the little prince, would crack. But he didn't crack.
He was strong. You know why? Because Ivar has won him over, I do believe. I think he has genuinely won him over. And that's going to be his little mini-me.
And truth be told, he better side with Ivar unless he wants to be under the thumb of his brother Oleg. Because Oleg has basically said, has not revealed to him that you as a prince, this everything is yours. And obviously Oleg doesn't want that to happen. He's trying to keep him under his thumb. Yeah. So Ivar's the one's like, I guess I can open up all this world for you. But still a dangerous game.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we think, we think Ivar has won this victory. But then, you know, he comes out with the trump card like, bam, Mikatia, you know, just to mess with his head. And she looks exactly like his old wife. And this is kind of funny too. I was wondering if she was going to tell. So Ivar even pulls her aside and says, you know, hey, we were married before. What did you think of that conversation?
I think that was the worst mistake that he could ever make.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, I think that was like, you're now showing your hand. And
yeah,
it just ended up being exactly what it was meant to do. Like, at this point.
So now they're going to mess with his head.
Yes.
Yeah. Done. So, all right. So, yeah. So he's freaked out about that. And immediately, I keep wanting to skip it. Okay. But let's find out in the audience. What do you guys think? Do you think, how is this person, who is Katya? Is the question I'm putting to you. Is he some type of reincarnation of Freydis? Was Freydis not actually killed? Did they bring her from the dead? My theory was that it was some type of twin sister that we never knew about.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in you guys' thoughts. And how far back Oleg has been playing in this mix.
Yeah. We definitely need to hear your predictions.
Right. Okay. So we talked about the seer and Vitzerg. And okay, I think we're almost ready to get to episode 7, the serpent, and no, I'm sorry, the Ice Maiden. And I guess just
wait, before we go, we got to let them know that Uber now knows that Ivar is alive.
Okay, that's right. Because the scouts came back and told them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now it's confirmed. Everybody knows that Ivar's alive.
Everybody knows that he's alive.
And he's given shelter by Oleg. Yeah. All right, good point. Is there anything else I'm missing before we move on to the next episode? I just want to, until you find something, I just want to stab it. Okay, with the audience, is that basically it seemed like this was more a lot of setting up. It wasn't a lot of action. It wasn't a lot of killing, a lot of war. Correct. It was a lot of preparation, laying the groundwork for this episode. All right, so let's go to episode 7, The Ice Maiden.
Yes.
And Lauren pointed out, I was like, why are they called the Ice Maiden? Duh. The Ice Maiden is Lagatha. Yeah, this episode leads all up to her, but we're gonna go section by section. So let's first talk about Greater Norway, where they're holding the election. And last we left off, Bjorn had gotten a couple of votes. Now, all of a sudden, when we come back to the election, all of a sudden Harald starts getting these votes, and it's really weird. Harald gets one vote. Harald gets two votes. Harald gets three votes. And we're wondering, like, how is this all happening? And then Bjorn's looking over at Harald, and Harald's like, I don't know.
It wasn't me. They just like me.
I don't know how it happened. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. Yeah, but I think we know also that Kettle Flatnose is somehow working behind the scenes for Harald.
Right.
Because obviously he was bitter toward Bjorn. So if we're going to talk about this whole section, everything that happened. So basically, Harald wins. Harald wins the election. And I felt like I was definitely open to some type of reversal to then subvert our expectations because it would be too obvious if Bjorn won. The fact that we were talking about it was, I guess it was just ironic that we didn't even see any of the plotting behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I guess it wouldn't have been as exciting, but clearly, Harald and Flatnose were doing this maneuvering behind the scenes and they outpoliticked Bjorn and, King Olaf because apparently they were making all these promises behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Yeah, I like that they did this reversal on us. Uh-huh. However, I was rooting for Bjorn to be king. Yeah. And I'm really shocked that King Olaf just had no idea.
Yeah.
He went from having this guy as a prisoner and saying that he wanted Bjorn to be king of all of Norway. And he didn't think to take any extra initiative steps, plot something.
That's the thing that bothers me, how both of them could get that outmaneuvered under their nose. And I think that's kind of like pushing the boundaries, but maybe it's to show that, I don't know, they got too arrogant. They just thought they had it sewed up and they didn't think Harald was a threat.
Yeah.
So what do you think is better for the people? That's an interesting discussion because when Harald is elected, his whole narrative is that it's not about electing another descendant of Ragnar, another divine Ragnar's son. It's all about the people, and forget this old elites. You know, it's all about the people, and he represents the people in new regime. Who do you think would be better as far as ruling the people? Would it be Bjorn or would it be Harald? I don't know.
I don't like King Harald.
Nobody likes King Harald. Nobody likes King. And that's crazy. Like, yo, I came over here to save you, and then now you're just going to take over the election?
Yes. I mean, out of all sincerity, I'm just like, I don't like this character because, like I've said before, he is all about himself. He is just, if it's going to work in his better interest, he's going to do it. And that this whole like episode we saw that.
Right.
And I'm just like, no, you're not good for the people. You're
right.
Not because and, you're power hungry.
And we all know, I mean, aside from a lot of us being partial to Bjorn because we've seen him grow up as Ragnar's son, he's shown us that it, whether he makes the right decision or the wrong decision, that his intentions are good, that he really does want the best
right.
for the people. So, but for what it's worth, you know, that's what happened. And we're going to continue to play out what happens in Norway in the election. And so we find out that Kettle kind of pulls
King Harald
aside, because obviously we know they're in cahoots, and he's like, yo, you know, and he's like, Harald's like, thank you for what you've done. He's like, yo, I want to be king of Iceland, you know, and I want you to send some more people there. And to me, that's not necessarily asking too much for this guy that did all this, but we notice King Harald is evasive. He doesn't say yes or no. Did
no.
you notice that?
I did notice that,
uh-huh.
but I'm not surprised.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah. So King Harald, I mean, once he's got his power, he's like, he's not showing any loyalty to anybody. But here's the thing. When Flatnose asks Harald, what is your plans for Bjorn? And he says, I have no plans for Bjorn. Ironically, I didn't take that to he was going to automatically kill him.
I don't think he was.
Okay.
I don't think he made that decision up until he looked around the room and realized that Bjorn wasn't there.
Okay.
And when he realized that he wasn't there, he said,
okay.
This is going to be, if you're not here to support me.
Right.
Then you're going to be a thorn in my side.
Good call. Because I actually thought Bjorn would have, he was going to play the loyal soldier, play along. I would have thought he would have shown up.
Nah, his face said otherwise. His face, that whole meeting in the crowd when King Harald was like, no hard feelings, blah, blah, blah. His face said.
He was like, no hard feelings. No hard feelings.
Just wait till I get you back.
Right. So you think it was, and actually that makes more sense to me because I knew Harald is selfish, but I would have thought that even keeping Bjorn around as an ally is more beneficial.
Yeah.
So with that said, so you think it's a spontaneous, that makes sense, a spontaneous decision.
I think, or at least from what I took away from this actor's choice in that scene, I took away that he was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm king. Yeah, Bjorn got me that because he came to save my butt. So I'm just going, like, this is going to be a neutral ground. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's no hard feelings because I knew that I needed to take what is mine, what I know I wanted. And, you know, this was my own prophecy for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he really did want to have neutral ground with him because if it wasn't for Bjorn, like, he would never even had this opportunity.
Right. So let's say he makes up his mind immediately to go get Bjorn. Kettle Flatnose senses this. He's like a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately goes to tell Bjorn, you know, you got to get out of here. You know, he's coming to kill you. And immediately the troops start busting in. Here's the only thing I had a problem with. While it was a kind of a surprise attack on Bjorn, Bjorn has his own army. They may have been defeated, but it seemed like once they had this big council and election, his army would have been turned over to him. He wouldn't be there, but Bjorn, in theory, has hundreds of soldiers there. So to me, it was kind of like stretching the plot that he would be caught off, you know, unarmed and without protection.
I do feel like that was like a little bit of a plot cheat, but I think that also kind of leans towards King Harald's power and how manipulative he was in this whole election, simply because you see that he has this conversation with King Olaf, and King Olaf is like, hey, what exactly did you promise all these people? Are you going to keep your promise?
Right, or how do you plan to do that? Right.
And
he's basically like, half of them, I'm not.
No.
Yeah. So then he probably realized, he said, well, if he's not keeping their promises, he's not keeping any promise from me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things where I think that although it felt like a cheat, and I think if we had another season, they might have stretched that moment out.
Right.
But for the time that we have, that was a really strong choice just to show how much power King Harald has snatched up in the moment working behind the scenes.
And for what it's worth, I mean, even if Bjorn does have his soldiers there, Harald has more. So if you just look at it from that sense. So Bjorn is able to battle out. And then you see Flatnose like really riding for him, taking all the shots, defending him. And I'm just
sides real quick.
Yeah, he switched sides real quick. And Bjorn is he's seeing him get stabbed up, and he's like, "We can't leave Flat Nose. Thank you, Flat Nose, for telling me." But he doesn't know what the audience knows, that he had betrayed him a long time ago.
Right.
And this is kind of like his only play left. But Bjorn doesn't know that, and he's like, always Mr. Good Guy.
I can't wait till that's revealed.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So, okay, are we in agreement that was Flat Nose that was killed? They left him there.
No, they took him.
Okay, I thought that
Bjorn, because they were like, oh, there's no time, and Bjorn was like, there's always time.
And they were like, get up, fat ass, or something like that. Okay, my bad. All right, all right.
No man left
behind. There was somebody that left, but it wasn't, okay, so it wasn't Flat Nose that they left. Yeah. All right, so they go back, they manage, like, some random guy, Eric the Strangers, we have a ship, you know, that was another, like, deus ex machina, you know what I mean? So they're able to get to the ship, and of course, there's men on there, but they don't make it clear whether it's Bjorn's men or this other stranger guy's who's like a mercenary.
I think it's the stranger's guy.
Yeah, he's like a mercenary. He's basically on, like, I'm a gun for hire. And Bjorn is, okay, well, when they finally get safe in the ship and paddling away, Bjorn is like, why are you doing this? Because I'm a son of Ragnar. And he's like, no, because you're Bjorn. And I kind of like that Bjorn needs to start recognizing that people follow him, not just because he's a son of Ragnar, but because of the things that he's done. And he needs to embrace that, too.
Yeah, so, own that power.
Yeah, so they start. So this guy, Eric the Stranger, says that, you know, he's been kind of like this vagabond, outcast criminal, and he's a mercenary for hire. But, you know, the future is kind of up in the air. So anyway, that puts a pin in the Norway election. So let's put a pin in that. All right. So again, let's go back to Rus. To Russia. Okay. To Russia. We didn't spend a whole lot of time there this time, but we pick up on Prince Oleg and his new wife, Katya. Are they going through their wedding ceremony? Is that what it was?
Correct. Okay. It opens up with that.
Okay, it opens up with the wedding ceremony, and of course, Ivar's there, and he's tripping. Everybody leaves, and it's just Ivar at this table with Oleg and Katya. And then, of course, you know, Oleg hits him with this, I heard you ask my wife something.
Right.
And I was like, you knew that was going to come. And, of course, she's sitting over there like, yeah, of course I told him.
Lord.
So you already agreed that, like, yeah, he kind of, like, showed his hand.
Correct.
So, but what we find out is that Oleg's like, yes, I know. I did it. I did my research on you, but also I am a prophet. He's still rocking that.
Right.
But where he really surprises Ivar is that he says, and then you and your ex, your wife, you guys had a child. And then you could see in his face, like, Ivar's like, how did he know that? Because he actually killed their child.
That is a very good point.
Yeah. So it was something, I guess. Yeah, it's very privileged knowledge, I would think, even back in Kattegat.
Right.
So with that said, so obviously Ivar is like, well, how did this guy know this? You know, it's kind of blowing his mind.
Yeah.
But then Oleg proceeds to take it a step further and basically, like, consummate the wedding on the wedding table. What did you think about that and making Ivar watch?
In my head, I was just thinking, these had to be men in the writing room. like
you don't think she was down?
Like,
she didn't want no privacy.
You know, like, I was like, they were having way too much fun with this this scene right here.
Yeah.
But it was quite intense in the sense of him taking his power back.
Right.
They're no longer, like, going, you know, head for head and just, like, you know, neck for neck for the power.
He's basically like, I'm screwing your wife in front of you, figuratively. Yeah.
Well, that, and it's just one of those moments, like, I'm going to do whatever I want, and you are going to have to continue to be my unknown prisoner.
Yeah.
Prisoner. Because at the end of the day, he was like, I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
And
who would? Yeah.
He was like, no, you have to watch Ivar.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
and it really, whenever I see that, I'm like, you, it's like, what woman would do that? But I guess he's a king. He's all powerful king. So you do whatever he says. And along my theory of, like, if she's some long lost twin sister of Freydis that he drudged up, he would have had to tell her, okay, like, we're going to make this guy jealous. And part of the plan is.
Right.
So maybe she knows what the get down is ahead of time, that we're going to drive him crazy.
Yeah. Or she's just, you know.
Just a freak.
Right. that and riding for her king.
Riding for her king, yes, yes. And we do understand that a lot of women probably would have not have made that choice, but this one did.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. So that's where we leave Ivar, and that's where we leave Roose. Now let's cut to, let's cut to Lagatha Island. So it's about, we see the battle beginning to form. You see kind of like some bandits on the horizon.
The elderly man.
And he's like, yo, he's basically taunting them. He's trying to draw them in.
Right.
But he's taunting them. He's like, what are you scared of? Come get me. You know, I've been through many more battles and fought greater men than you. Come on.
I love that he, you know, told his history about fighting with Rollo and just everybody. Yeah. And Loki, we haven't really heard their names in a while. So I think that was really sentimental.
I love
this.
That too. But I just thought like they would have had, even though he's kind of like a plant to lure them, I thought they would have had a plan for maybe he can live. not just sit there and get shot up.
They
you know.
Said, someone's got to do it.
Somebody's got to go. Okay, old man, you got to go do this. This is your part. When you're going to die, you're going to shot up full of arrows. But okay. So gradually they start, the bandits, they start revealing themselves, and let's call them the Skagamore, because that was the name for the people who were banished,
okay,
led by the White Hair. So they start coming over the hill, and then we see then we see the young boys up on the hill as they're coming, with the bows and arrows. So you think, okay, like they fell for that trick again,
right?
But wait, they didn't fall for the trick, because the Skagamore had some people sneak up behind the boys on the hill and basically take them out. Yeah, and they took him out.
So sad.
So it was kind of, but it was also kind of, I kind of like that moment, because I feel like you can't keep going back to the well twice. You can't keep doing the same old tricks. If they fell for that thing again, they would have been stupid.
Very true.
So
this whole scene is a very clever, like, fight and war scene.
Yeah.
I think they made a lot of strong choices pulling on some of the former episodes that we've seen throughout all the seasons, and then just some little plots and twists that just kind of kept us guessing and on our toes.
So let's talk about these tactics that they use. The maidens have created like this maze, yes, basically to draw them in, and it's like they're kind of looking at, should we go in there? And then like you see some of the women warriors come out like,
I love it because it just showed, like you mentioned this earlier, they're outnumbered, so they have to be clever,
right?
And you know, in the top of the episode, or the former one, we saw them putting together the walls and everything, and I seriously thought they were just going to try to build a wall to keep them out. Mm-hmm. So when we finally see them reveal this maze, I was like, oh, that's genius.
Right.
That's absolutely genius.
Okay. So, and with that said, so they finally are able to lure the bandits into this maze after they kind of give up a couple of other people that get killed really quickly. So they lure them in, and then I was so glad to see, like, then they hit them with the hot oil, and then they hit them with the sticks and the spears through the wall. Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for that to make a comeback, right? Like that technique, right?
Right, because I think we talked about it in the last fight scene. Like, we were like, why didn't y'all use fire? Yeah. Like, why didn't you use the catapults with the fire? Like, why? Come on, there's so many more, like, advanced tactics that y'all have learned. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing any of them, and they made sure.
So they were successfully able to lure these guys into the maze, and like on one side they're sticking them through the walls, and they're pouring oil and they're setting them on fire.
They're collapsing the walls.
Yeah, like doors are closing and they can jump. So that part was like really cool.
I love like something so simple as like caving the wall in. I thought that was just so clever, because this is something that we really don't see on television. Like, I don't know. Maybe I don't watch.
Let me tell
fight,
you though. I mean, I'm probably giving the bandits a little too much credit. But like, as soon as I would have saw that, I'd be like, I'm not going in there. It's clear you want me to go in there, so I'm not gonna go in there.
I think it was perfect, because you got to remember, these bandits, and White Hair says it. He's like, oh, it's just a couple of women and old men.
Right.
You know, he's underestimating them.
Right. So his arrogance.
Yeah.
Because if it was me, I'm like, this looks like a trap. This wasn't there before. I'm like burning this thing down. Let's hold up. But of course they don't. Their ego.
Yeah.
You know.
And you're not thinking that it's a maze like how we're seeing it. They're thinking that, oh, okay, we'll they'll just run through and it'll be, we'll, you know, get to the other side and it'll be the village. But they were really, really intelligent, and the women were very clever on how they trapped them.
Right. So next thing we know, like, the men are, the bandits are running, they're fleeing, and Whitey's like, what are you doing? You're letting these women run you out,
you bunch of dogs.
You bunch of dogs, yeah. So they get, they really get the asses kicked.
Yes.
And so basically the only one who's left is White Hair. He kind of hangs around, and he kind of gets funneled into this little, I guess, this little area, this little fighting pit where it's just basically him and Lagatha, and they're going to face off.
Right.
So I always have mixed feelings about where you, obviously you want, as a climax, you want these two opposing leaders of each opposing sides to kind of square off, you know, one-on-one. But there's another part of me that's like, yo, we got like all these soldiers. Just run off. Just kill them. You know, why we got to do this like fair one-on-one thing? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
The Viking way.
It's the Viking way. It's the Viking way.
Because I seriously thought Lagatha was going to die in this moment because of how intense the fight scene became, and then how she was just becoming stripped and stripped away from her shield.
Okay.
So I thought that this might be a moment where she either would severely get hurt or end up dying. This was going to be it. So it just became one of those things that, no, this is the Viking way, her proving her self-worth, her power, and that she can take on literally a guy that was three times her
and
size.
Even her soldiers and women are like, yo, let us kill him. And she's like, no. Yeah, let me handle this fool. So I agree. I like that. She's a true Viking. And so they stretch out the battle where you see her get hurt.
Right.
And the music's really dramatic and slow motion, and they're kind of going back and forth. And there's moments where you think she's got the better of him, and they're kind of talking, and he's like, well, you know, you're Bjorn, they humiliated me. And she's like, well, you broke Ragnar's rules. And she's like, I would have, you know, I was loyal to Ragnar, and I would have been loyal to Bjorn. But all this kind of exposition.
He was hurt. Like, he was so angry and vengeful. Like, this was just, he was so invested in this moment. And I think that's also why it had to be a one-on-one fight, too.
Okay.
I think that's part of, like, that epic moment, just because this was his moment to have revenge, as he was saying. Like, I can have the ultimate moment by killing
because Bjorn. Because he's when you use that expression, him and his crew are basically living like dogs. They're outcasts. They're pariahs. And, you know.
Bjorn, you know, branded him.
Right.
And it's just one of those things, you're mine.
Right. So anyway, so this is his way to get his dignity back. And I guess in a certain sense, if they had formed like this vagabond tribe that was able to continue to subsist, you know, they'd be just as much as a threat as any other Viking tribe or town, I guess. So anyway, so they're having this epic battle. Lagathar's seal gets broken.
Yes.
She gets this, what I thought was a mortal blow on her side. Now, she's tagged him, but he's not giving up. She's like, you're tired. He's like, I'm not tired. I'm still going.
Right.
You know, and she gets this kind of, this gnarly blow on her side. They don't show you how deep it is, but we know it's significant. So she finally, she kind of takes to her knees. Her shield is basically in tatters. It's just like one little piece.
Right.
And she kind of like takes to her knees, almost like she's going to give up. Like, take me. What was your impression at that point?
No, absolutely. I agree. Because she had her hands extended. Her body was open. Everything about her body language was that of like surrendering. So I was like, oh my God, no, not off with that. Because we saw one shield maiden's head roll on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I was like, no, not the head, not the head.
right,
having one of those moments. And it was a nice twist for this scene, because it showed her surrendering in that moment and then rising up to that hero moment. And that was just beautiful.
And again, I guess it's kind of like using his arrogance too. So he takes the bait, he comes in, and then she stabs him, you know, with basically like this jagged part of her shield. And by the way,
his sword.
Wait, I'm getting to that. She's lost her sword, by the way. That's another reason why she's on her knee. And so she has this basically this little piece of a shield, and she stabs him with.
Yes.
Then, good call. Then, as you saw, we're like, where'd the sword come from? She's able to take his hand and twist his sword and kind of give him like the death blow, like kind of slit his throat, in addition to stabbing with the shield.
That moment was epic. I was like, whoa. Okay, did she have this hidden somewhere? We miss it? Did she pick up her sword
yeah,
from the ground?
We had to rewind. Where did that sword come from?
Like, hold on. We had to basically almost watch it in slow-mo. So the action, the stunt choreography, y'all did an amazing job for that scene. I love that
And even Gunhill was like, we've never seen anything like
that before. You have to live Lagatha. We need you.
So Lagatha, she goes out like a G. And at that time, I'm wondering, you know, I kind of thought she was fated to die. I thought it was just going to be because of the wound. Right. And we'll get to about how she really dies. But that was when I thought, okay, it's kind of over for her. Even though she wins this battle, you know, ultimately, you know, she's hissed.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the Shield Maidens, you know, they celebrate Lagatha. And we're going to put a pin in Lagatha Island. And we're going to go back to Kattegat. And in Kattegat, Uber and Torvi, I guess they're at this dinner, and this singer is singing this song, and it's about Lagatha, right?
Yes.
Okay, now that was so bizarre.
I knew then.
Yeah, it kind of tips your hand that, okay, like, we're not done with Lagatha, we're not done with this story, but we know that Lagatha's on this other island, but they're singing this, obviously, the singer singing this ode to her.
Right.
So, meanwhile, Lagatha has made it over on this on horseback, and you know she's almost falling off the horse because she has been mortally wounded. But as you said, she wants to come die in her homeland or at her hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about this. I still have mixed feelings about like would Gunhill let her do that, but that's beside the point. The point is like you know she had. It's a plot device to get her home.
Right.
And she wants to die in Kattegat, and she sees the seer.
Correct. Now, this is where I was just like, oh, my God, no, not now. Because we knew that she had this really deep wound, and we know that she wanted to go home, and her forcing all the other maidens to stay in the village, that automatically told me that she just wanted to die in peace.
Okay.
Type of deal, right?
Okay.
But I definitely did not think that she was going to die right then and there. Like, I thought we had maybe one or two more episodes just, you know, to let us off gently.
Yeah.
But yes, she sees the seer. And in that moment, when she saw the seer, I was like, okay, this is freaky. And I didn't think anything negative about it until she reaches out to try to touch or take that like necklace or something that was in the seer's hand.
Uh-huh.
The moment she started reaching for the seer, I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to die.
Okay.
She's going to die now.
So there it is. And we've run out of time. I've taken a long time. So I'm going to just skip to the end. But basically, we've been cutting between them singing the song of Lagatha foreshadowing her death. We've been cutting to Vitserk, and he's going crazy.
Yep.
And he's thinking he's seeing visions of Ivar. And eventually, he thinks he sees somebody crawling around with a tail like a snake. So yes. We all think it's Ivar, right? So he's going up, and he's going to kill her. He's going to kill the beast. He's going to kill the Ivar. And then it's a reveal, of course, it's Lagatha.
Right.
And his mind's been playing tricks on him the whole time.
Yes.
So that was now let's talk about your problems with the ending with and Lagatha's death.
Okay. So my biggest problem is that I felt like it was just too soon. Like, okay. I think that she needed and should have had at least one or two more episodes.
Mm.
And then it's sad that it's not Ivar that did it, but it's, you know, Vitserk. And it's just one of those situations where it's like, we're going to, you know, play a mind trick. And then out of all things, the situation is over some mushrooms.
Because he was tweaking.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Like some mushrooms.
But was that part of the prophecy fulfilled, as you alluded to, as the seer saying he had some other role to play?
And it's so crazy because you would think that this would have been a decision of choice,
uh-huh.
right? And in a way or indirectly, he did make this choice because he thought it was Ivar.
Right.
But he never made this choice to be malicious towards...
To consciously kill Lagatha.
Right.
Lagatha's like, I don't take it personal. You know, she's like, this is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So Jonathan, our engineer in the booth, I know we're out of time. Man, so I want your feedback on this. Should we skip over news and go right into the craziest kill and predictions? What do you think?
You know what? Let's do news and the craziest kill.
All right,
Let's get it.
We just got kills, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll do news first.
Okay.
And so we're going to go to Lauren. She's going to update us with the news, and then we're going to talk about the craziest kill. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was. All right. Well,
yeah.
Well,
if we really wanted to.
Okay. Let's go off the dome.
Yeah. We don't have any official news. Most of the articles this week really just went off of this epic death scene for Lagatha. So a lot of the news is just recapping that. But a lot of the articles, Entertainment Tonight even spoke about this epic battle scene between Lagatha and Whitehair. If y'all haven't seen it, or if you want to check out more news about this scene and different elements of how this went through, you can definitely just go ahead and check out that article.
Yeah. What's the actress's name who plays Lagatha? She's been getting nothing but love in the press.
Catherine.
And oh, and by the way, our lovely Lauren has been pursuing Catherine behind the scenes. So if you're out there, see if we can get an interview, right? So that's a lot of news. Yeah. That's a good update.
I really do want to interview. She's awesome.
If you're out there, yes, we'd love to have you on
if
the
you
show.
Happen to be in LA, because of course you looked beautiful at the Golden Globes.
Yes, she did. There you go. Shout out to her and the Golden Globes. All right, so let's talk about the craziest kill. And smash. All right. The craziest kill, I will let you announce it, Lauren, because it's your choice. When Whitehair is killed, right?
Yeah. So here's the deal. I think that it's epic with the fight scene and how it was cleverly disguised with Lagatha using Whitehair's sword to slice his own neck. I think that was epic because of just how, like, well done that scene.
And it was a reversal. You didn't expect it.
It was a reversal.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had to rewind it like 2 times,
right,
that definitely gets our vote for the craziest kill.
All right. That's the craziest kill. And a close second, I guess, was when Lagatha's death, but
I didn't want to vote on
that. Yeah, she didn't want to vote on that. But that's fine. It was a close second.
But it was
controversial.
Yes.
It was controversial. Okay. With that said, predictions. All right. So, predictions.
Now,
this is where history butts up against the show, because I actually knew that in history, King Harald actually was crowned the king of all Norway. Like, that's a historical fact. And spoiler alert, Bjorn gets his own kingdom, kind of like his own separate kingdom to rule. But we know that they don't always necessarily stick to the history. So
right,
my prediction, just going on my historical knowledge, is that Bjorn gets his own kingdom. Obviously, he survives, but you have a different prediction for Bjorn.
Can I say this? This is cheating.
Well, just frame it as a prediction, because I don't believe it's confirmation.
Okay. Sometimes
the internet says a lot of stuff.
Rumor has it, now that Catherine has been killed off, and she was the last of the former, you know, the beginning cast of the show, Bjorn is next. And I hope that it's wrong.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, who do you predict is going to die? Do you think Bjorn is going to die? Or do you think he's going to go and inherit this new kingdom like he has in real life? And also, what's going to happen with Ivar? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been pushing it. We ran out of time. Thanks for hanging there with us. We crammed everything into a double taping, 2 episodes. So let's sign out, everybody. My name is Al Gregg, your boy Al G, and you can find me here every week hosting the show. And my socials are Al_Jamaica House on Instagram, and the lovely Lauren.
I'm Lauren B. Mosley. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren B. Mosley, MOSLEY. And we're out.
Bam.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.